Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across the UK.
Today we present three more stories
with members of the Sex Workers Open University.
Your host is Miranda Kane.
And this episode features some highly sexual language from the very beginning.
I'm going to start off just by telling you a quick story that happened to me. This was one of my very last clients that I had, and you'll probably realise why he was one of my last ones. So I had an appointment with a guy, and he said he wanted to be tied up and dominated, and he wanted a bit of anal play with a look towards being done with a strap on. Now, there's already some people in the room thinking, well, if it's his first time doing anal play, then doing a strap-on might be a bit of a stretch. I don't want to brag, ladies and gentlemen, but I am packing. I have got 8 inches of solid plastic with your name on. So he said, oh, I want to be tied up. So I tie him up, and I'm getting into the role play of it. I'm like, I'm going to tie you up, and I'm going to make sure that my next client comes in here and starts fucking you up the arse. No, I don't think I would agree with that at all. It's not getting his, mind fart. What's it called?
Sub on.
Pardon?
It's not getting his sub on.
He's not getting his sub on. Yes. Yes. I was going for suspension of disbelief, but getting his sub on, that's... I did tell you about the wine. So I immediately start putting the ball gag on. I'm not having any of that. Before I do, I'm like, right, okay, well, is there anything else that you'd like? And he turns around and says, don't steal my stuff. He was in my flat. I wasn't entirely sure where he expected me to go. So I said, I may not steal your stuff, but I might not use as much lubricant as I should do. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, okay, please welcome your next storyteller and welcome to the I'm getting mixed up because her name is Miss Sly.
Hello. Okay, as a sex worker, I spend a lot of the time trying to prove to people that I'm a real person. I mean, with non-inclusive feminism, a lot of the time we're kind of treated like we're not real people, either if we don't fit into a stereotype of being either a victim or a villain or repentant in some way, then we're apparently not real. Apparently we're not representative if we, you know, speak out and say we want rights, not rescue. It gets difficult sometimes, just arguing with people on the internet mostly. And, you know, we're told that we sell our bodies and ourselves, and I'm still here. I've not sold my body or myself. I still exist. I'm still a real person. And then, you know, you get the patriarchy as well. You get guys you meet in pubs who... You know, not the clients, but just guys you meet in pubs who, they think that all we are is kind of like extras from Grand Theft Auto or, you know, just these kind of disposable people. Or, again, as a pro-dom, being told that, you know, we can't be a real, you know, We can't be into lifestyle BDSM because we do it for money. You know, if we don't do everything for free that some random guy wants us to do, then apparently, yeah, not real. I guess everybody's got aspects of themselves. I mean, I know there's a lot of pro-doms in here, and, you know, we're not dominant all the time. I'm often told by people, you don't seem like a dominatrix. You're nice, as if they expect me to just kind of walk in and just greet everyone with a big kick in the balls. And so... Yeah, and it's kind of hard to just prove I'm a real person. And I guess, you know, we've all got these aspects of ourselves, and each of these aspects is just part of kind of what makes up the entire self and kind of be everything that you are, because tomorrow you could get hit by a bus. So I got hit by a bus, an actual bus, in 2010, and which really, really changed things, because, I mean, before that, I was kind of doing okay, and then I had to have a lot of time off, and it's really strange because at the time I don't remember anything. I lost my memory for a long time. I mean, I have no recollection of the accident itself, and I was told that apparently I was conscious afterwards, and when I was in the road I was telling people I was fine and that I just had to go home, which does sound like me, but I have no memory of this, and it's really strange to think kind of what is a real person. I mean, what is the real person if I can't remember any of those things, apparently I was there, but really I kind of wasn't there, not consciously, not at all. Though, actually, funnily enough, my partner, when I was in hospital, he said the first time he, you know, because he knew I had a brain injury and that I was kind of out of it, but the first time he knew that I was still me, that I was still in there, was that I still did bad puns. And I have no memory of any of this, but apparently in the hospital I had a commode and I named it Mark Commode. And I so that was when he knew I was still in there. I was still the real me. And, you know, and it's kind of, you know, what is real? I mean, for a long time after the accident, I thought that everything that was happening wasn't real at all. I mean, even from what I can remember, I thought that it was all just some weird coma dream, that I was still unconscious, that everything that was happening wasn't real at all. I mean, because again, with my partner, when he proposed to me, it was about 5 months after the accident, and I was sort of with it, but not entirely. And we'd gone to Malta, and he'd sort of, you know, he'd warned me in advance, because I've got freakishly small hands, so he had to get the ring size measured, so, you know, he couldn't really spring a marriage proposal on me. But then when he did propose, at the exact moment he proposed, and basically he got on his knees and said, "Will you be my significant other?" And I said, "Fuck yeah." And then a load of fireworks went off. And I was like, "Did you plan this?" He was like, "No." And it was just pure coincidence. And I was like, "Is this actually happening? Is this not in a film? Or, like, is it, you know?" And I had no idea really for a long time what was real and what wasn't. And again, being a dominatrix with a brain injury and PTSD is always a little bit tough, because, you know, just having to be that strong person, that person in people's fantasies who is strong, who is kind of taking over, and kind of being on the way to an appointment and having to kind of pull down a panic attack. And, yeah, it happened a lot. And just, yeah, kind of having to cover that and still be the fantasy within the reality and still be the real me, because, you know, my dominant side is a part of the real me, but sometimes it just gets kind of lost under some of the other stuff, and sometimes it's hyperventilating. And so anyway, you know, we're all real people. Sex workers are real people. And unlike, you know, the character played by Anne Hathaway, who's completely fucking fictional. So anyway, thank you.
Miss Slice! Very good.
So I had to run through there because I needed to get the running order. Sorry. Because there's some very important bit of information here. Because this next young lady, she writes at the Sassy Lap Dancer blog. So please go and check it out after we've heard from Billy.
One last everyone. Oh, here we go. I'm Billy, and I write at the Sassy Lap Dancer blog. And I don't know how hard you're all looking at me right now, but I didn't always used to be like this. Okay. I used to actually be a 32, 26, 32. And for those of you who aren't very good with maths, that's like fucking perfection, okay? I was lucky enough for these gifts to be kind of naturally given to me. I turned 15 and I blossomed into a very beautiful, sexy, curvy kind of young teenager. And as I was leaving kind of college and high school and everything, everyone was always saying to me to utilize my talents, you know, and go out and get a job and, you know, kind of use all the gifts that you have. And I mean, I was actually a straight A student, but I thought that my really kind of key gift that really made me stand out from the crowd was obviously the kind of massive tits, the tiny waist, and the great ass that I'd been given. And being 19 and living in London, you know, London's a fantastic city, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's fucking boring if you've grown up here. So I travelled the world as a stripper. For years, I actually ended up travelling the world as a stripper. But I wanted to tell you about the first place that I danced abroad when I was younger. I was 19. I thought, where's really, really exciting in the world that I can go and dance in and work at? And one of the places which was very, very exciting and has actually been in the news for kind of sex workers and gorgeous young ladies making a living dancing and talking and drinking and being sexy over somewhere was Japan. Tokyo was absolutely fantastic. It was a really wild, crazy, crazy place. And I just wanted to kind of tell you a bit about how crazy it was. I turned up through an agency, and I'm not sure exactly what they did with my visa. I think I was on a tourist. I don't really know, but there was a load of us girls from all over the world. There was some from Eastern Europe and Russia. There was quite a few Australian girls, and there was actually only one English girl, and that was me. Obviously, the Lucy Blackmon thing had kind of stolen that kind of market, unless you were young and dumb and 19. But we actually, at the time, you weren't allowed to rent a normal apartment there if you were gaijin, which is a foreigner in Japanese. And so they rented out a load of rooms in one place, which the locals called Pussy Plaza. And it was just round the corner from Roppongi, which is fantastic. And I had the choice of two clubs, Seventh Heaven or Privatize. And obviously I chose Privatize because it sounded really classy. Now, in Japan, it's very different to stripping in London. In London, there's quite a few rules. No touching is one of them. Of course, obviously, people are always brushing up against your leg. There's a particular move that strippers will understand, which is when a guy kind of rushes up and down your thigh like that, and it's a touch that no boyfriend would ever do. It's a really creepy touch, but it's when you're like that, and they get their hands and they just go like that. But in Japan, you're allowed to touch from there. You're not allowed to touch there. You're allowed to touch all the way from here and up here. So I was getting my tits grabbed, and we had a nickname for this. We used to call it, because Japan's very famous for the fish markets and having a big radio tower, we used to call it the Tokyo Tuna, because it was like, they used to come up and they used to twiddle your nipples like a little radio knob like that. Japan was fantastic, and obviously the men there were crazy. One actually asked me if I could do a dance, give him a lap dance with a dildo, and it was attached to his key ring, which was... I said no, for hygiene reasons. But you would think... it had been in his pocket all day, and salary men have cheap, sweaty suits. It's not nice. But the strangest customer I'm just going to leave you with, he wasn't actually Japanese, actually. He was American, and he was like a big old Texan. And if you imagine Jabba the Hutt, okay, he was this big, engorged kind of guy. I mean, I don't even have arms big enough to say how big he is. He was huge, okay? He had like this kind of big Texan. He was like this mixed race guy, and he was like Jabba the Hutt. And funnily enough, he had made his money. He was a millionaire. He'd made his money running a helicopter company, which I found amazing because I don't know what kind of fucking helicopter would have picked him up. I mean, you needed a crane to pick this man up. And we went upstairs because he had to walk upstairs to get to the private dance booth, and he kind of wobbled up, and I was worried the fucking stairs were going to break, you know. It's built for tiny, weeny little Japanese people, and he's coming up like this. He sits down, and he's like, honey, he's like, oh, you're so sexy, you know. You know, oh, you just want to fuck, I just want to fuck you. And I was like, oh, you know, can't really do that here. And he's like, I'll offer you $2,000. And I kind of thought, oh. And then I thought, no, because my medical bills would probably cost more than that if he squashed me. I was like, no, I can't do that. I can give you a really sexy lap dance. I was like, anything you want. How do you want me to act? What do you want me to do? And he was like, he just looked me straight in the eye, and he was like, and I was waiting for it. I was like, what's going to turn on this Texan guy? Probably sweet, cute little girl, something like that. And he said, I want you to make barnyard animal noises. And yeah, and then I made my money go moo, woo, and that's it. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really looking forward to this one. We have the wonderful Killer Pussy.
Hello, good evening. Within my little group, well, my little harem of hussies, obviously I'm not the boss. I know, strange. I'm well known for getting the strange jobs. The really strange ones. Not fucked up, just really fucking weird. So this is my story. You want me to eat you? Well, I can't do it all at once. I mean, you are 20 stone. He invited me to dinner to discuss the matter. Pay me for my time. Paid to eat. Fuck yes. Normally I have to hide my gluttony and mind my manners. I'm not really one for bourgeois bullshit, but also diving face first into a plate of food isn't really sexy. And as everybody knows, dominatrixes don't eat food. We eat slaves! He looked at me and said, "Oh, I hope you intend to eat a lot." "Oh, yes," I thought. What a fucking crap time to be on a diet. But you know what? Even though I'm a left-wing hippie feminist activist, I'm still force-fed misogynistic bullshit rammed down my throat that anything under a size zero with small boobs is an epic fail. Hence, somehow I'm always on a fucking diet. But not tonight! He looked me up and down, smiling from ear to ear. "Oh, you do like to eat." Now, normally this would be an insult. "Jesus, you're a bit fat, aren't you?" But ladies and gentlemen, not tonight, no, because tonight is an epic Monty Python episode of engorging yourself, which I can do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I was born hungry. I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, "I'm craving something, something I haven't had. Oh, what could that be?" You think he was hooked? He was putty in my hand. I ate a soup. I ate a cold starter. I ate a hot starter. I ate a salad and I said to him, "You've got to get your greens." I had a main pasta. I had a main fish. I had a main dessert. And when he went to the toilet, I shoved the dessert in my handbag and ordered another one. Which I couldn't eat. I am merely one woman. He smiled and said, "Sweetheart, I'd like to take you to dinner every night." I thought, "Shut up, bitch, you ain't got enough money." "Look at this chintzy place. You'd have to do a lot fucking better than this." Over the course of the evening, he confided in me that his fantasy was to be eaten. I thought, "You don't really deserve to be inside of me in any way, shape or form. But okay, let's indulge you." I whispered to him that I would shave every inch of his body. And I would baste him from head to toe, slowly massaging it in. Next, I would tenderize him with my mallet. Now, it's actually quite hard to make being malleted sound sexy. So I just slowed it down. "As I mallet every inch of your body, tenderizing your luscious meat for my hot, hungry mouth." He was fucking hooked, yeah? Yes. Next, I will get a sharp pole and slowly slide it into your mouth. Pushing, pushing, pushing until it comes out your tight ring. He looked like he was going to come in his panties, yeah? Then I will put you on my spit roast and I will turn you slowly over and over until every bit of your meat is falling off your bones. Yum, yum. Next, I will put you at a center of a great feast for all my dominatrix friends. And we will scoff every little bit of you until all that is left is your shriveled up penis. And that I will give to my dog. Woof, woof. Yeah, he never wanted to go through with it. Bit of a shame, really, because I'd already devised a plan with a fucking massive whack of cooked pork with an electric bread knife. That kind of thing. Time waster, but I did get paid and I got a free dinner. Well, actually, I got a free dinner for four people, only it was just me eating. I was so full. You don't know how long it took me to waddle home. Thank you very much. Killer Pussy!
Thanks for listening to Spark.
If you've enjoyed this, why not try coming to one of our nights?
Full details at stories.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.